We're trying to figure things out, Chris. It's the start of the NHL season. We're putting money down and we're predicting all kind of stupid things. But thanks for being here. We got Rhett Warner back on the show this week, and earlier this morning he was kind of reminiscing about his first game day. The start of the season for him went from junior straight to the NHL, got in, played opening day. You're not that far removed. I guess I'll start here. Is this your first or second? How many now opening nights for you now has it been that that you're out of the league?
Well, this will be my third, 2017-18. With the Flames was my last season.
But then you went to training camp with Chicago, right? You were in a camp.
Yeah, last year I was. So I had opening night in the minors down in Rockford last season. Actually, it was nice. So that was my last true, I guess, opening night as a professional hockey player.
So how are you today?
I'm good. I don't miss the game necessarily. I just miss being around the guys. It's just being around guys like-minded, same goals, same aspirations as you. That's the hardest part is the bus rides, talking, and just BSing with people, again, like-minded, same goals. So those are the hardest parts. As for being hit and playing, I don't really miss that right now.
I think that's from the very top, from the elite level down to guys like me or whoever playing beer league. It's about the room. It's about the buddies on the bench and the room and all that. The hockey's kind of whatever, but it's around being with the pals. And at the NHL level, obviously, you're so tightly connected. Did you think you'd feel this way? Did you feel like you'd maybe miss it a little bit more? Or when it was over, you kind of like Rhett, you had a little bit of a chance to see it coming. It didn't surprise you, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't surprising at all. I prepared for it over my last year in Calgary. I really did because I knew, you know, my hip and all the stuff that you got to go through in order just to get through a season. It was something that I was preparing for, starting to understand what I maybe need to do after the game as well. So it wasn't that I got this career-ending injury and it was abrupt like some other friends I've had where it'd be, you know, a lot tougher. So I could see it coming. Today is still hard in the sense that you still want to play hockey because you have that competitiveness in you. It's the ups and downs I just couldn't go through anymore at the end of the day where, you know, you haven't scored in a few days and maybe the media starts to get on you. And then you're showing up for a morning skate and you can barely move your leg because your hip hurts. Just little things like that, they start to add up throughout the season and it creates an up and down flow. It's a roller coaster, right? And that's really where I couldn't go through it anymore.
So do you have an opening day memory or a story that when you think back, because you played enough, a story that for what might be an interesting one or one that stands out or means something to you?
No, none really. I really, it was just, I guess the first one in 2000, my first true one was 2008 in Chicago. And we got to do a little red carpet. It was kind of, everything was rolled out. So you felt like a rock star. That was really nice. Chicago always does something. It was a red carpet service into the game. So the guys actually got pretty jacked up for that. I still remember they brought us around in limousines and each guy got to come out and walk the red carpet. I know it kind of sounds silly, but at the time when you're 22 years old, it's pretty exciting stuff.
And you win in 2010, but you're not there for the banner raising, right?
I've won two Stanley Cups. I haven't seen one banner raising. I haven't been to the White House once. I've been traded within basically weeks of each Stanley Cup. So yeah, I've never got to see the banner raising, and everyone always tells me it's one of the most incredible moments. So, oh man, one day I might have to come back just as a scout, just to, you know, throw me on one of those top teams as a scout so I can come back and see the banner raising the next year.
That is crazy, because I knew for sure it happened right when you were not alone. There were a lot of guys who were on that cup winning team in 2010 and then had to start the season elsewhere. How many guys was it from that team? Like five or six?
No, it was 11. It was 11.
All right. Yeah.
Between Ladd, Bufflin, myself, Sopel, Colin Fraser, Adam Burrish, Ben Eager, jeez, you can keep going. So there's a lot of guys that had to shift, and it was, I know talking about the guys, some of us had an opportunity to go to the White House the 2011 season. I was playing, so I wasn't able to, but some of the other guys were able to fly in. I believe Burrish still made it from Dallas, I think he was in.
Yeah.
So a couple guys got to go, but most of us didn't. I remember me and Nick Boynton talked about possibly going because he was another guy who didn't come back, and we didn't get a go.
Back when that was now guys are skipping it all the time. That was kind of back when it was a neat thing, something that you wanted to do was to go to the White House. I don't know how it is anymore.
I mean, I would like just to go see it, as you know,
sure,
just to see the White House. I've never been there, and I'm sure every athlete in there who gets to see just, you know, the main house in America, it's a pretty cool moment.
So I'll ask you, it's kind of a, we won't put you through the full paces of the predictions, but we'll start with the Canadian division. Who's winning this division this year?
I think Toronto, and I think is generally not a very good way to start off a sentence, but Toronto would be my best bet. My four teams I have in the Canadian division are Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, and Montreal. I don't have Vancouver in. I know a lot of people have Vancouver finishing the second or third, but I don't have them in. Toronto, to me, has the most elite team on paper. Do they have the best team? I don't know, but I think they have the players that can win them the division. Calgary, I like as a whole. I like their defensive group. And Edmonton, if you have two superstars and you can't make the playoffs, then if you're those superstars, it's time to ask out at some point in the next couple of years.
Jeez. Put a little fire under the fan base to the north of us. This is what we love. Good stuff.
I mean, if you're 24, 25, and you're Connor McDavid, and you see nothing in the future, at some point, you got to get yours.
Yeah. That's... what would be the breaking point? Missing the playoffs this year?
It's got to start to become a breaking point. Just as you look into Buffalo for Jack Eichel, they're trying to do things for these guys. But as you know, the players now, these guys get so good so young. And it's almost like the high end, it starts to go off. You know, before his players play into their 30s. Now the high end starting to go into the late 20s. Not to say Connor McDavid, well, he'll be great into his 30s too. Ovechkin's been able to do it in Crosby. But these players, if they see no end in sight and they're 24, 25, 26, and they don't see the back end, these young players starting to help and emerge them into the top echelon of teams. Like, so say Leon Draisaitl at 25 now, Connor McDavid 24, and these guys truly don't see these young guys help pushing them over the top when they're 26, 27, 28, then yeah, you got to start looking elsewhere to get you onto a team that can win you a championship.
Do they have enough goaltending there? What are your thoughts on Koskinen? He's a guy that's had wildly varying seasons and got paid right quick since coming over from the Cave under Chiarelli.
Well, their goaltending is, to me, yeah, it's not strong enough, but that doesn't worry me like their defense worries me. Their goaltending is minuscule compared to a defensive corps that cannot win you a Stanley Cup. Their D needs significant upgrading in all aspects. They don't have a true number one. They don't even have a true number two, I believe. Adam Larson is a really, really good defender, but he needs to be with a true number one, and they don't have that there. So their defensive corps, for me, is not good enough to win a Stanley Cup. The way they're going to make the playoffs, though, is just because they have the two best players on the planet, number one and number four. I still have Hedman and McKinnon ahead of Draisaitl, but they have the number one, to me, and the number four best players on the planet who can drag them into the playoffs. But to get them winning round after round, they need a defense. They need other guys to stabilize them, that insulates them, and they just don't have that.
Klefbom out for the year doesn't help either, right? Montreal's.
Let me just ask. I was just going to say. So, what about Toronto's D then? Because where does Edmonton's defense end and Toronto's start? It's Jake Muzzin's their number one. Morgan Riley's their number one, but I mean, it's.
You have. I think you have three defense in Toronto better than the top defensemen in Edmonton.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So you, I even would put Brody. Brody would be darn near close the best D-man in Edmonton. Like, truly, as I know he's not elite offensively like Barry, he might not be fully elite. He's not, and Darnell Nurse might be a good defender, but I think overall you got a D-man who could help a team more like Brody, and you have other guys, Hall, that can kind of fit around these guys better. Ethan Bear, like Broberg too, he's a defenseman coming up. I think he can be good. Ethan Bear is a good defenseman. again, Adam Larson, I believe he could be a number two if he's got an elite number one, but he probably slots in as a second D pairing, and Clefbaum too. So I don't know. I see the top D-men. Morgan Riley's better than any defenseman, and same with Jake Muzzin. Those two are hands down better than any D-men on Edmonton.
Montreal's kind of been a sexy pick so far in the new year, and when people are doing predictions, I've seen a lot of people very high on their offseason. They've added a lot of depth. They get to Foley. The Josh Anderson deal is a major push chips in for Bergevin. What have you thought of their offseason?
I agree. I like their offseason. And the other thing which I think is making them a sexy pick is that Kotkaniemi and Suzuki probably played better in the playoffs than they're going to give you during the regular season over 56 games. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to get into the playoffs. But also the guys that they're insulating these guys now around them are better. Their defense seems to be strong. Shea Weber is playing still at an elite level. He's not been given near enough credit for what he's capable of doing. Do I think they're good enough to win a Stanley Cup? No. Do I think they're better than other teams in the division? Yes, because of the guys now insulating. Tyler Toffoli, they've also picked up. And these guys help their group. Do they have elite top-end forwards? No. But they have good enough forwards to get them to the playoffs and be a dangerous team and also win some rounds, possibly.
And I'll just ask you, going back to Chicago, because you know these guys very well. Jonathan Toews not playing. How's Keith and Kane feeling as they get started tonight? Because this does not look like it's going to be a good year for the Hawks. It's a rebuild, and I don't know how hungry you are to be a part of a rebuild once you've tasted the success that they have had. What's going through their heads?
I made this call on XM the other day. They were asking me who the worst team in the league is. I had Detroit a few weeks ago until you find out that Toews and Doc aren't in. I would have had them around the 27th to 25th place team. But without Toews and Doc, there is, to me, at the moment, they're the 31st place team. Oof. And if you're looking at as Kane, as Keith, I don't know. I have not talked to them again. I'm doing analysts. I'm not an insider. I don't want to be prying into these guys, and I don't want them to think I'm prying because I'm not, because I want to make true observations of their team. To me, they're the 31st place team. Another reason is the way that they play the game, the way the team plays the game. They give up way too many grade A's. They're not strong enough defensively to give up that grade A. So coaching-wise, they need to change the way they play. And if you're looking at that as Kane and Keith, if you're, talking with Stan and understanding the direction of the team, which to me, it's a true rebuild now, you got to make a decision. And if you're Stan and you're being up front saying, hey, I'll move you guys, because we're rebuilding, or do you want to stay and stay through this rebuild, then it's up to Keith and Kane on what they want to do. So if they're going to go through the bumps and they're not going to be very good over the next few years, but they're been upfront and told that this is a true rebuild, then it's on Keith and Kane. But if they're told, hey, it's time for you, we're going to move you guys if you want to be moved, then again, it's on Stan to try to move these guys and hopefully work out something for the Blackhawks and for Keith and Kane.
What's your gut tell you? Does it say you know them all?
Well, if I'm Patrick Kane and I get a move anywhere in the league, I'm going to the New York Rangers, personally. Whew. I'm going to the Rangers. The Rangers have enough pieces to move. That's a place that has the limelight on. Kane loves the limelight. He plays better than any player in our history of our game in high-pressure situations, and the Big Apple can do that. I think it would bring out great hockey in Patrick, and it would be a great fit for him, as Artemi Panarin's already there. But again, they have the pieces to do it. If I'm Patrick, that'd be a place I would like to go. For Duncan Keith, I don't know where he wants to go. I don't know what he wants to do, but there's a lot of great fits for him as well.
Wow, it's not hard to fit him in somewhere. Now, the folks in Buffalo are now annoyed with you. So Kaner's not going to Buffalo? He's from Buffalo. I mean, you want to play for your hometown team, don't you? Come on, Buffalo. That's limelight. He'll get lots of attention.
Jack Eichel could be good too, but I still feel like you look at Chicago, top generating revenue team, high end team in the league, American club, and I know Buffalo too. But if I'm looking as to where these teams are possibly going in the next year to 3 years, I'm going to New York.
You talked about Chicago struggling this year. Colin Delia and Malcolm Subban is going to be their duo in net. That is that's a changing of the guard, to say the least, and I don't know that it'll last long with those two. What's the plan in net?
Yeah, I know Kevin Lankinen, too. He's a really good goaltender. He's a really good goaltender. I think we're going to start to hear about a lot in Chicago. Is he a true number one NHL goalie? I don't know. I think Colin's a very good goalie as well, as he might be an NHL backup. Do they have any starters in the future? That's still wait to be seen. So that's another kind of area, the game for Chicago, what's going to be interesting. Matt Tompkins, who's another goaltender in the minors, is a player that everyone should watch out for. He's a really good goalie, played for us in the Spengler Cup last year. I played with him. So they have good goaltenders. Are they going to be NHL starters? I don't know. More like NHL backups is a possibility, but the game is you're going to play two goalies now in today's game, at 30-50 or 40-40 generally, 45-40, 35. So it is interesting to see. I still think Kevin Lankinen can be a really good NHL goalie. Matt Tompkins can be good. And Delia can push possibly for a backup one day. But I'm excited to see which goalie emerges into the NHL roles in Chicago. Do they need a starter? No, because they're going to be the 31st place team. So go with what they have, play who they have, and don't worry about going out and getting an NHL starter. See if these young guys can actually move into the spot like Crow did back in the day.
Last one from me. I can envision Kane going somewhere else. Is Taves the kind of guy that would move, or is he a I'm going down with the ship, I'm in for better or worse kind of guy?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've never asked him that question. So if I'm Jonathan Toews and you have a few years left on your contract, you weigh your options, you see the possibilities, you see the teams you can go to, if that's something you want to do, and if you want to stay with the team and Stan tells you, hey, this is a rebuild and we're going to have to take some lumps and we're going to see it through and see if it comes out on the other side as another possible winning team, then that's on John to make those decisions. But I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens, too, again, with Kane, Keith, and Toews. What are they going to want to do? What are the best fits for them and on other hockey clubs? So I'm interested to see what happens as well.
Steger, go ahead.
Well, who's winning the cup?
I have Tampa Bay, Colorado in the finals. I think Tampa Bay can repeat, especially because Kucherov is going to give them a little infusion. What do you think, Rhett?
I try not to predict, because when I pick football picks, I go 0-for-5 on weekends, and it's disgusting, but that's why I like to ask people that might have a clue, because clearly I don't know anything about picking winners and losers. So Vegas.
Hey,
is
Rhett, last year, February, or was it end of February, I did the old Charles Barkley guarantee Tampa Bay. It was a real hard guarantee, right? One of those really hard guarantees. So I'd like them to find that clip one day. I don't know yet. I'd like to make my guaranteed pick more near the trade deadline. So by then, I hope you have a pick for me.
Vegas. I'm going with Vegas.
All right. Hey, Steger, great to have you on. Looking forward to having you during the course of a hockey season. We haven't really had that, but we're looking forward to it, man.
True.
Good visit. Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Awesome, guys. Go Flames.
Thanks, man. There he is, Christopher Stieg.